Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday. I'm so happy to be with you guys today. What a beautiful day it is here in Tennessee. I want to give you a few encouragement scriptures this morning because Pastor is going to preach about trusting in the Lord and not fearing, which is what we need in this hour, right? So 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 27:4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." Isn't that beautiful? Because we do not want to step into the ark of the beast, right? We want to stay in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is in Him. It's His protection, right? Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Isn't that beautiful, encouraging words this morning? Now today, before we get started, I want to give a few announcements. Okay, we are going to do another corporate fast is coming up. September 2nd through the 4th. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The first few days in the week in September. We know that this September will be the most epic one we have ever had because it is the high holy days and there is so much going on in September this year. So we need to prepare our hearts and we need to get ready. So we do this almost every September. Have y'all noticed this? It's always awesome, too. God always talks to us. So I'm very excited about it. Okay, Logo School starts in just a couple of weeks. I'm so excited. August the 25th. I pray that all you guys have signed up and have received your books and is already reading your Logos and Symbols book. You need to have that read by the first class because we are going to mow it down for 4 weeks. Okay, the prayer call, we are still doing Monday and Wednesday. And then we're doing church. Oh, hold on just a moment. Okay. As I was saying, we do church on Sunday mornings at 7:30. Monday, we do the prayer call Monday morning. Okay. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be doing class on Monday night. Those that can't make Monday night will be able to do Tuesday morning. And we also do the Good Morning on the Farm on Monday mornings at 6 a.m. Good Morning on the Farms Tuesday at 6 a.m. And then we'll have Tuesday class. Usually I do the news every Tuesday night for sure. And then Wednesday morning, we do the prayer call. And usually I do the news on Wednesday as well. But, and then news we still have on Band News and Patreon. And we did do a yard sale this week. It was a flop, but it was a lot of fun. We only made $32, but, and no one accepted our free Bibles. We had three tables set up of nothing but free items. They took a lot of the free items, but didn't want the Bibles. But we did pray for people. So it was really nice to be able to pray for people. So that's our exciting week that we had this week. But that's all I have in announcements. So let's go ahead and get started with the worship this morning. Okay, the first song we're going to sing, because Pastor's sermon is on fear and how to trust in the Lord right now. So the first song we're going to sing is Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all we'll trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Isn't that beautiful? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. These old lyrics these old hymnals, they're so good, aren't they? I mean, just the very powerful words. Okay, here's a short song that all of you probably know, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? Hey, this is interesting. Look at this. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms is the result of an epiphany based on the text of Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Showalter was a musician who conducted singing schools. He studied music in England, France, and Germany, and served as an elder of First Presbyterian Church in Dalton, Georgia. Showalter was inspired by this scripture after hearing the news that the wives of two of his former pupils had died and were buried the same day. In a letter of sympathy, he created the refrain out of a verse from Deuteronomy and asked Hoffman to write the stanzas. According to hymnologist Carl P. Dahl, it appears that the Baptist hymnal appropriately assigns Showalter as the tune name of this song. After serving as a soldier for the Union Army, Elisha Hoffman attended Union Bible Seminary in New Berlin, Pennsylvania, and was ordained by the Evangelical Association in 1868. A pastor in Ohio, Michigan, and Illinois, he also worked with the publishing arm and published the song. But anyway, okay. That's interesting. Okay, last song. How many of you remember this one? Surely the Presence of the Lord. Remember that song? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Isn't that beautiful? All right, well, that's all I have. I'm going to open up the line for Pastor. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much this morning for your word, Lord. We thank you for anointing our pastor. Lord, we thank you for the encouraging word that's going to come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. It's very good audio. Good morning.
Good morning. I had to take the mute off, I guess, there at first.
Yes, well, you got the floor.
All righty. Thank you for your songs and your news and everything. And that last song, Surely the Presence of the Lord. And that just goes right along with this message, the end of this message that I have. I guess this week I was going to do something else, but yesterday me and June were talking about things, and you know, and we just sense that everybody's living in fear. And she goes, well, you should give a message on fear. And so, you know, and I know that the scriptures, there's over 365 times in the Bible where there's some sort of scripture that it says not to have fear or to fear, but that word fear or fearless or, you know, I got my concordance open right here in front of me, and this is a big book, and hopefully most of you have a good concordance, but, you know, there's one, two, three, you know, three full pages of different scriptures about fear, or feared, or fearest, or feareth, or fearful, fearfully, fearfulness, and fearing, fears. So, you know, this is a big topic, and, you know, I was looking up scriptures, and I was reading a couple other commentaries on it, and I had a list of stuff that I wanted to touch on, but it was like just almost overwhelming. And so then I just started with one verse, and all the other scriptures went behind, and I just kind of went with the flow. So, and I want to, earlier this week, I got a text message from someone, I'll just say one of my brothers, and this message actually broke my heart, me and June's. And so this brother sends me this video, okay? And so I thought, oh, okay, you know, I'll watch it, whatever. And I watched it, and it was really good. I don't think June watched it. We didn't have time to. But he says, he sent me this video, and he says, worth listening to, food for thought. And I'm thinking, okay. So I listened to it, or I watched it, and it was real good. It was this gal who was talking about stuff, and it was all lines up with what we're talking, you know, June teaches, and you know, what's going on, you know, about AI and everything. I mean, it was really good, I thought. And so, you know, I just replied back, yes, this lady has some very good information. I would agree on. I believe Trumpster is the Antichrist, and he has put in place he has put in place all of them. You know, all the people he put in place are in high tech, pharmaceutical globalists. Like she said, putting together the Luciferian global beast system. And like she says, most of the church blind to see. Very sad indeed. And most don't see the new world order in place now and being run by AI. And then he sent me another video, but it wouldn't even open up. And so, you know, I just give my simple opinion. Okay. And here's his response. I'm glad I'm not like you, the two of you, living in fear, spreading discouragement, assuming over and over that someone is the Antichrist. First it was Hillary, then it was Obama, and now it's Trump. What's the purpose? I see it as, look at me, I know everything. Whether it's good or evil, God is in control. The most important thing a believer can do is to know your Bible. Stay constant in prayer. Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Amen. Good scriptures. But, you know, this is just one time with this brother of mine, and I've got other ones too, that I can't even civilly give my little opinion about a video that he sent me. And then he says that we, just are propagating fear and all that stuff. And we never did say Hillary or Obama was the Antichrist. I didn't ever get into that. And he says that I send him in another, further down here, he says that, that I don't, that the family, other family members are always getting this BS from me. And, which is an outright lie, because I don't send all of this stuff to, I've got 9 siblings. I don't send this stuff to all of them. The only ones I've ever sent anything to, and that's been a long time ago, because I stopped sending them because of stuff like this, But anyway, fear, And so this morning, just right before I got on here, and I didn't do this yesterday, I'm surprised, because I always got my Bible dictionary, and I looked up the word fear. Okay, and it says the Hebrew word for fear is reverence. Ain't that interesting? The other Hebrew words meaning terror, Exodus 15, 16, etc. Carefulness, Joshua 22, 24. Trembling, Proverbs 29:25, fright, Job 41:33, Greek, phobos, dread, terror, Matthew 14:26. Fear is the affliction of the mind, which arises on the conception of approaching danger. There's that word, mind. Fear is that affliction of the mind. Interesting. The mind, will, and emotions. That's the soul realm. And we're going to be talking about that, which arises on the conception of approaching danger. The fear of God is of several kinds. And the first one here is superstitious, which is the fruit of ignorance. This is in my Bible, in my Bible dictionary. Superstitious, which is the fruit of ignorance. And I thought that was really interesting because people, you tell them truth, That's what we do here. I mean, and I'm open to be corrected. June has to correct me sometimes. And sometimes, grin, but you have to be corrected sometimes. We all do. But here it's what I want to say is willingly ignorant of the truth. People, they don't want to accept the truth, so they're going to willingly ignorant of the truth. It's because the truth is putting fear in them, because, I'm going to go down here a little bit. I'm not going to read this all because it's quite a bit of stuff here just on fear. While its absence is characteristic of a wicked and depraved person, Romans 3:18, it is produced in the soul by the Holy Spirit, and great blessing is that pronounced upon those who possess this Christian trait. Amen. The reverential, if that's even a word, fear. We have to have reverence. His angels protect them, Psalms 34:7. They are under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91:5-6. This fear would subsist in the pious soul where there's no punishment of sin. It dreads God's displeasure, desires his favor, reveres his holiness, and we're going to talk about that, submits cheerfully to his will, is grateful for his benefits, sincerely worships him, and conscientiously obeys his commands. And then this is the interesting, fear and love must coexist in us in order that passion, that either passion may be healthy and that we may please and rightly serve God. The fear of the Lord is used for the worship of God. It will teach you the fear of the Lord, Psalm 34:11, and for the law of God, Psalm 19:9, the fear of Isaac. Genesis 31:42-53 is God whom Isaac worshiped with reverent awe. Take that word awe, A-W-E, and we're going to talk about that at the end of this message. The fear of God is that dread of the opinions of our neighbors, which makes us cowards in the performance of those duties which we fancy they do not practice. You know what? You know, we have a duty to the Lord to preach the truth, do we not? As watchmen. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. That's from my Bible dictionary. Anyway, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And this is, starts out with when Jesus chooses the 12, okay? You know, and he gives them power against unclean spirits. Remember that. And, you know, he cleanses the lepers and casts out devils and all that and first part of this. And but going down to starting with verse 16, it's about warnings of persecutions, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people, they're fearful of being persecuted, you know, and there's probably a mile long list of different ways you could be persecuted, not only physically, but mentally, you know, just by talking to someone and they're hearing what you're telling them, you know, and they're mentally getting fearful. Not mentioning that maybe you could hold a gun up to their head or a whip or whatever, you know. But spiritually and physically, there's fear. So those first verses 16 through 23 is about warnings of persecution. Then you get down to verse 24. And it's about, you know, the rest of this, the next from 24 to 33 is about instructions for the disciples, okay? But I want to go to this one verse, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, I think maybe we need to be preaching more on hell. I don't know. You know, and it says here, fear him. Who's the him? It's the Lord God Almighty, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He's the one that's going to send you there. And it's because you made that free will choice. But I want to go to verse 24, and I want to read this here. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above the Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, if I'm pronouncing that right, Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. You know, today's age of technology, you know, the Bible says that there's going to be that knowledge is going to increase. There you go, through AI. You know, so a lot of things are being unraveled today and made known. Verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye among the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body and are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But so whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Wow, this just come to me here. Let's read this verse 37 again. Excuse me, 33. But so whoever shall deny me before men. Whosoever shall deny me. Is not God's word the truth? And the word is God. So whosoever shall deny me, whoever shall, and this is in red, this is Jesus talking, whoever shall deny me, he's saying whoever denies the Lord, if you're denying the truth before men, now we're sending out, you know, we send out information to people or stuff that we feel is the truth, and most of it I believe it all is. And when we try to share things, it's the truth, it's God's word. So if you're denying truth, if you're denying Jesus, him also, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Wow. I don't know. That's pretty strong, is it not? You know, the Bible encourages us to fear God rather than fearing man or what man can do to you. You know, this verse explicitly contrasts the fear of physical harm with the fear of God's judgment. It emphasizes that while humans can inflict physical pain, God has the power to destroy both body and soul. Wow. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, like June shared, you know, trust. There's all kinds of scriptures on trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. You know, trust in the Lord. But here it says, the fear man bringeth a snare. What's a snare? It's a noose for catching small animals and birds. You know, fearing man can lead to a very negative consequence, while trusting in God provides safety and security. Just think about that, a snare. I'm sure most of you know what a snare is. A noose, like a hanging thing. You know, you bend over a sapling and you tie a string onto it with a noose on the end of it. And when something steps in that circle and it quickly and snaps whatever stepped in it, that animal or that bird, and most likely it'll strangle them or whatever, it catches them. You know, quickly, wham, bam. Fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, if you're living in fear of man, what they're going to do to you or whatever, it brings a snare. You know, it's catching you up and, oh, it's not good. Go back to Matthew 10:28. You know, the fear, and fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. Again, I want to highlight that soul, mind, will, and emotions. That's why we, you know, I think last week I talked about this again. You know, we really need to get down in our hearts God's word to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Right? We're in Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians 6 once here. Ephesians 6. 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay. If we go, I'm going to flip back here to Matthew. And when we was reading here in Matthew 10, it said here in verse 25, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Well, what is Beelzebub? And I had to look that up because that word stuck out at me. It means it's the prince of evil spirits, a heathen deity. Wow. You know? And there's other scriptures that talk about that, and I'm not going to go to them all, but Matthew 12:24-27, it mentions this evil spirit, this prince of evil spirits. Mark 3:22, Luke 12:15. But here in Ephesians, it's telling us, you know, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to put on the whole armor of God, that we be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, this Beelzebub, or whatever, this prince of evil spirits. You know, it's a heathen deity. What's a heathen? You know, it's and this is just a quick, and I looked up that word, and it's a lot to that word, but I'm just going to cut to the chase here. It's a person who does not believe in the God of the Bible, person who is not a Christian, an irreligious and unenlightened person. You know, we can't say that, well, it says here, a person who does not believe in the God of the Bible. Well, we know that a lot of the descriptions, and I didn't look them up, but, you know, the devil knows the Bible probably more than most Christians. You know, he's twisting God's word and using it against them, inflicting fear, maybe, you know. But it's an unenlightened person. So, you know, someone willingly ignorant, unenlightened, they don't want the truth. They're the ones probably living in fear, but they say they're not. They're living in fear because they don't want the truth, you know. They're not believing in, trusting in, faith in. Hebrews 13. Go to Hebrews 13. Thank you, Lord, for the tea. All right, Hebrews 13. And Hebrews 13 is service. It's talking about service well-pleasing to God. But I want to jump down to verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. You know, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Covetousness, you know, it's something belonging to others. You know, don't, you know, You can't have all these desires to have what someone else has. Greed, you know, you're greedy or whatever. But be content with such things. And I've talked about that word content before. I'm not going to go there today, but let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. This is an awesome psalm. And we're just going to read it through, and I hope everyone will grasp what it's saying. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let's stop there. One thing, it says, have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is that one thing that that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know, you have to have that mindset. You know, you have to really get this mindset that you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. You know, to see the glory of the Lord, to be in awe. There's that word I want to say. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. And we talked about joy last week. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. Psalm 8. I just got to turn to Psalm 8. Never had this in my notes, but it just came to me. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. To still the enemy and the avenger. You know, and this is reference to Matthew 21. Okay. So, I'm going to turn to Matthew 21 quick. These are two of my favorite scriptures. Matthew 21. Verse 16, and this is Jesus saying, talking, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read? He's referring back to Psalm 2, 8, excuse me, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You know, going back to Psalm 8, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Why? Why is he ordained strength? Because of thy enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. So out of our mouth, you know, we need to sing praises. You know, when we sing praises and worship the Lord, what's it do? It causes confusion to evil and it flees. Amen. You know, we have to look at ourselves, I do, as a child of God. You know, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that's us. You know, put your name there, I guess. Amen. Okay, going back to Psalm, where was I? 27. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Remember that. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I've got something on that coming up. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will I take then the Lord will take me up. Maybe I should put in there, when my brothers forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and heal and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Amen. Father God, right now, I just want to ask you, Lord, each person here today, teach us the way, Lord, your way, and lead us on a plain path, a path that is simple and clear. It's the narrow path, but it's not that wide, easy path, a plain path, simple, that we can see clearly the truth that will lead us and guide us in the ways that we should go, Lord. Because of our enemies, they're all around us. They could be people we're working with, people in the government, the medical, all the systems of the world. It could be even our families. So, Lord, lead us on that plain path. Amen. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Sounds like someone I know. False witnesses. You know, this brother of mine that who's says all this stuff about me that is not true. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had been believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Believed. We talked about that word last week. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, wait on the Lord. Find some scriptures to, you know, encourage you, to get you to be confident, you know. So can we confidently say, the Lord is my helper? I will not fear what man can do to me. Hebrews 13:6. This verse echoes the sentiment of trusting in God's help and overcoming the fear of what others might do. Amen. You know, we have to trust in the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And it's interesting because this 1 Peter chapter 3 and these verses is verses 13. I want to read verses 13 and to 17. Okay. And it's about suffering and reward. You know, and this is a summary of Peter's giving a summary of Isaiah 8, verse 13. Okay, and I just want to hold your finger here on 1 Peter, and I want to swing back to Isaiah already and just find that scripture, Isaiah chapter 8, it's not Daniel, Isaiah. Isaiah 8, okay, so here in 1 Peter, starting in verse 13, chapter 3, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is with that is in you with meekness and fear. Not trembling fear, but respect and awe of your God. Having a good conscience, that whereas ye speak evil, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well doing that than for evil doing. Wow. You know, when I was writing this, I wasn't thinking about my brother. I never thought about that until earlier this morning when I woke up. But, you know, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You know, be ready always to give an answer to the man who asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Meekness is power under control. It's not something cowardly, you know. With respect, you know, having a good conscience, you know, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, is there out there someone speaking evil about you? I'm afraid that me and June have people out there that speak evil of us. But we're not ashamed. You know, we're not ashamed of those evildoers that falsely accuse us. You can't be. You know, you got to, you know, we need to really have compassion on these people. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing. Amen. Isaiah 8. Let's turn back to Isaiah 8 because it's 1 Peter. He's referencing Isaiah 8, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. You know, this whole chapter of Isaiah 8 is about deliverance. Foreshadowed. So, you know, go back and read this whole chapter. It's really good. Now, for time's sake, I don't want to read this whole chapter, but it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. What's that word, sanctify the Lord? It means to set him apart. Set apart him alone. Give him the highest honor. It's like the word holy, set apart. You know, he's the only one we have to fear. Isaiah 5:16 says, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. You know, this is about the parable of the vineyard, or should I say the parable of judgment. Let's turn to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. Says, but the Lord of hosts, verse 16, shall be exalted in judgment, and the God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. But, you know, from verse 8 to the end of the chapter, it's, you know, my Bible says, woes pronounced on the faithless. You know, on people that don't trust in God. Woe. You know, what's that word woe mean? It means great grief, trouble, or distress. An exclamation of grief, trouble, or distress. You know, woe is pronounced on the faithless. And we're not going to read it all, but verse 8, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of Homer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabernacle and the pipe and the wine and are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operations of his hands. But let's jump down to verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords and vanity and sin as were with a cart rope. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Are we not seeing that today? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. You know, there's going to be a time of great distress and trouble upon these people. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Anyway, woe, you know. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And again, that word awe, it's a deep feeling of respect and love, awe and esteem. Psalm 89:7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be in reverence of all them that are about him. Let's turn to Psalm 89. Oops, too far. And I'm probably not going to read this all for time's sake, but my pages are sticking together. Oh, this Bible has really thin pages. Oh, and I just tore it bad. But Psalm 89 is about God's sure promises to David, okay? And where should I start here? Verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness around about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof rise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. As one that is slain, thou hast scattered thy enemies with a strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the inhabitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. That's interesting. I'm just seeing this. Go back up to verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Truth, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound and walk, O Lord, in the light of the countenance. Let's say, blessed is the people that know truth. Back up to verse 14. You know, because mercy and truth shall go before thy face. In thy name shall thou rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. I'm going to stop there on that. You know, are you in awe? That's my question. Are you in awe, in great reverential fear and wonder, influenced by God's word and in great wonder of his majesty? I can't remember. There's a psalm that's just so awesome about, talks about his majesty, you know. His supreme power and authority, the majesty of God's law. In Numbers chapter 13, you know, Numbers chapter 13, and this is about when, you know, the 12 spies were sent out to Canaan, you know, to spy out the land, you know, and they come back and they're, you know, we're fearful of the people, you know, and everything, and you know the story. But I want to jump down to you know, Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up and this way southward and go up into the mountains. You know, so he's sending these people out to spy out the land, and they come back with this bad report and everything. And but in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You know, we have to be bold. We have to be like Caleb, you know, and let's go up, man. Let's go possess the land. Because we're well able to overcome it. Overcome that fear. Amen. You know, but, you know, these other men, you know, what did they do? But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. It's, you know, they brought a faithless report in their God. I guess that's what I wanted to point out. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is, you know, it's David's, you know, encounter with Goliath, okay? You know, the first part of it is about the challenge of Goliath. You know, he's challenging God's people, you know, and everything. And but I want to, and then, you know, David, he hears this challenge, you know, and he's like, what? Who's going to stand again? Who can speak about my God like this, you know? And let's go down to verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of my armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Is someone defiling you today? Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, we have to stand up so that all the earth may know that there is a God in my home, on this farm, in your home, in your house. Amen. Verse 47. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it shall come to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You know, he didn't stand around and gawk around. He took off in a hurry. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Interesting. You know, he put in his hand his, you know, in this bag, and hence took a stone. And let's just use God's word. And when we took out from the Bible God's word, and we spoke it out to the, you know, whatever's coming against us, you know, we're getting God's word deep in us. And this stone sunk into his forehead, God's word. Amen. So verse 50, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Hallelujah. David's charge. You know, who is your Goliath today is what I guess my question. Who is your Goliath? You know, we have to hit it straight on. Last night I woke thinking about this, you know. And, you know, we need to be in awe of God. You know, we need to be in awe of who he is. You know, his majesty, his glory, and everything about him. You know, we want to just be, you know, in his presence. And I was thinking, well, you know, Lord, just, you know, give me, you know, just pour out a little bit of your glory, a little bit of your glory upon us that just, you know, builds up our most holy faith, you know, to build up our trust in you. You know, we can just have this little experience, this little, you know what I'm saying? And when I was thinking about this and pondering and talking to the Lord, you know, this, I had this thing that come up in me that I remembered. And it's a story about when I was traveling in this lightning storm. And this has been back in the, I don't know, 1990s, late 90s, early 2000. And I was going across country on my motorcycle. And I'm getting my bike ready to go. And this great big storm was to the east, you know, and I was traveling east to North Carolina. And I was leaving late in the afternoon. It was almost 5 o'clock, you know, 6 o'clock. The sun was about ready to go down. And I could see this storm. I was going to drive right into this storm because I was going to drive all night. And I did. And as I was traveling down the interstate heading east, lightning was all around me, to my right, to my left, in front of me. And this song come up in my spirit. And I was singing this song as I was going down the road. And it was like I was driving right into this storm, and all of a sudden the road would turn and I was going around it. But then all of a sudden I was going right back into this storm, lightning to my right, to my left. And oh boy, you could smell the rain. And all of a sudden the road would turn and I would go around it. But this whole time I was singing this song. And it's a song Paul Wilbur sings, "Let the Weight of Your Glory Fall." You know, this song expresses a desire for God's presence and the glory to fill us, you know, to be in God's presence. You know, it's a song that expresses our desire for God's presence and glory to fill us as we worship him. You know, it's a plea for God's manifest presence and power and all. You know, and if you've ever seen lightning, which I know we all have, and if you ever was driving into a storm of lightning, I mean, that's the power, awesomeness of God. I mean, that's just a little speck of God's power. But I mean, wow, lightning is powerful, is it not? But I was singing this song and each time, so I want to sing this song. And I know my voice ain't the greatest, but it goes like this. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the living God. And it was so interesting on this journey that I was doing. Right when I was singing that verse, reveal the glory of the living God, a thing of lightning would come down right in front of me. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm speaking the truth. And I would go, yeah! That's God, that's my God. That's his power. And I was singing this song and I was worshiping the Lord. I was driving down the road singing this song. And then I would sing on and I would say, let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. And lightning would come down. You know, the Lord God Almighty, Lord, we invite you into our presence and influence into our lives. Amen. We do not seek your hand. We only seek your face. We want to know you. We want to see you. Reveal your glory in this place. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the weight of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter into worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Alone, for your name is holy. Lord, your name is holy. Holy Lord, I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you alone. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. For your name is holy. Holy is the Lord. So holy, Lord, for your name is holy. Amen. The Lord. You know, we have to seek the Lord while he's able. And I want to go to another verse. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And it's interesting because this morning when I got up and I was studying and I was worshiping the Lord and I was singing this song, and you know, you think, you know, what, you know, songs that people sing, you know. Where's the biblical context for this song, you know? And I'm not going to go through the whole song, but I do want to just do a couple of verses, okay? And that's from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. And that's what we're here. You know, we're here to, because we believe the Lord has anointed us to preach good tidings to the meek. You know, he sent us to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. These people who are don't want to know the truth, willingly ignorant of the truth. They just want to hear good messages. They don't want the truth of what's really happening in the world. They don't want to come to the saving knowledge to set them free from whatever, you know. And this chapter of Isaiah, this three scriptures, you know, are referenced to Luke chapter 4. And I want to turn to Luke 4 quickly here. And this should be the last one, Luke 4, you know, and it's Luke 4, you know, verses 1 through 20. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. This is about the temptation of Jesus, you know, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were in it, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There it is. We need to live by the word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. The devil's trying to get Jesus to worship him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Who are you serving today? Are you serving that fear, that distress, that anxiety? And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Reference to Psalm 91:11. And in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest thy any time dash thy foot against thy stone. Psalm 91:12. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region about him. And he taught in their synagogues, be glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set liberty, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. My question is, whose eyes are you fastened on? Lord, I just ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon each person here, Lord. Anoint them to preach the gospel. Anoint them to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal broken hearts, to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, people could be captive in many different ways. Captive in their mind of things they're hearing and seeing. But, you know, he's telling us to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to them that are bruised, oppressed. Are you oppressed today? I ask that the Spirit of the Lord come upon you and deliver you from any oppression. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So, Father God, right now, I thank you that you would pour out your Spirit upon this message. Pour out your Spirit upon each person that hears this, that they will hear the truth and be set free. Set free from whatever ails them, to set free from sin, sickness, disease, calamity, all the fiery darts of the devil. They will be set free from all the fiery darts of the devil will be void against coming against them. No weapon formed against them will prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, that we fasten our eyes upon you this day and the days to come, that we will not live in fear. Fear has no place in us. I rebuke the spirit of fear now in Jesus' name. I command it to be loosened from operating against anybody that hears me, anybody that hears this message. That spirit of fear and the roots thereof be broken now in Jesus' name. That spirit of fear, despair, anxiety, all the roots of it be broken now. I command it be loosened from operating against them. And the spirit of joy, the spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness, become upon them. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you and worship you today, Lord. That fear cannot strangle us. It's not like a snare that will grab us. No, only God's word. Amen and amen. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. thank everybody for coming here today. Give the Lord all the glory and honor and praise. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. That was awesome. Thank you so much. There is so much going on in the world right now, sir, that we just really need that peace in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
You know? So we do thank you for your encouraging word. And Bribe, we thank you for being with us today. We pray that God richly blesses you. To you guys that are on the prayer call, I'm going to stop the recording and I'm going to see if any of you guys need prayer before I get off here. All right.